All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Breaking the Mold podcast. I am here with an amazing friend, Clark Ryder, the owner of Ryder Plumbing and Heating. Him and I go way back. I take all glory for his success because I've managed him in the past. I have molded him to the man he is today. I'm sure we were going to talk about that at some point, but I just wanted to throw it out there just to get it past and move on from there. But welcome, Clark. Thank you for joining. Tell us a little bit about yourself, buddy.
Man, thank you so much for having me. First of all, first thing I was going to say, right off the bat, without any any further delay, this studio looks incredible. Like, yeah. I'm legit, you've mentioned, I've known you for a while.
Yes, sir.
So proud of you and how this studio turned out. Thanks, like, dude, I've seen this basement with holes in the ceiling because I may have had to make some holes to fix some pipes.
Leaky pipes.
But this whole studio, I mean, you guys can't see all of it. I'm sure you could have seen his studio tour that you did a while ago. Yeah. But this studio looks fantastic.
I appreciate that, man.
Very high quality.
A lot of hard work. A lot of elbow grease. Good thing I have friends that are handy as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been awesome, man. Been awesome.
So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Off the bat. And then as far as me, what do you want to know about me?
Let's start off with...
I'm just a plumber. I'm just a plumber.
You're more than a plumber. Tell us kind of why did you want to get into the plumbing field and stuff like that? Like, what inspired you to play in poo?
Yeah, so that's great. So I've always joked with customers. I've always told them, because a lot of people ask that, because plumbing is not the most glamorous field to be in, or the most...
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like you say, why do you want to be a trash guy? It's like, oh, that's not really all that nice. But I've always told customers I just have a passion for toilets, and I have since I was very young, you know?
Is that real?
No, that's not real. No, that's not real. But I don't know. I didn't really know what I wanted to do in high school at all. I was thinking something business, something sports.
A lot of people do.
Pretty much what all guys are like, oh, I'll do something with sports, and maybe I'll be a business owner too. Like, just no idea what I was going to do. And so I ended up trying a trade school with a friend of mine, and we did a plumbing course. And I was soldering pipes and putting PVC together, and I was just like, wow, I love this. Like, this is, I could see myself doing this for a longer period of time. So I just kind of continued to commit to that. I was given a great opportunity by the owner of Paradigm Plumbing Heating out of Hooksett, and he let me come on with no experience. I knew absolutely nothing. He went out on a limb with me, and it just ended up being a really good move for me, and I just stuck with it, and I've just really enjoyed it since then.
I feel like with me being in the trades as well, right, it's hard to find, especially even now, right, it's really hard to find a company that's willing to take on a 100% just starting school green apprentice unless it's a family member.
Yeah.
Right? You see that all the time. Like, how'd you get in there? Oh, my uncle owns the business, or my uncle's the manager there, or something like that. It's a lot of companies out there right now it's really a high risk for any plumbing company to bring on someone that's green, because it takes so much to invest into that, that person. And so kudos to them for bringing you on, because it takes and you don't know exactly what you're getting nowadays, right? Like, not to throw your generation under the bus, but you know, there's a lot of people that don't really want to work as hard as you do, right? And I think you and I have had conversations about that before, where, like, you know, I see in you, like, you're in the wrong generation, because you are the hard working gritty, down to earth, just want to make an honest living, want to bless people, want to do the right thing type of person. And I commend you for that, because there's a lot of people out there that just go into business for the wrong reasons and selfish reasons. And I know that you went into business for the right ones, because I've been blessed enough to see your journey from beginning to here again, because I completely molded him to the person he is. But yeah, so when you go through your apprenticeship, you work for some great companies, you get ready to start your own business, what kind of motivated you to be like, all right, I don't want to work for somebody. I want to start a business, and I want to be the person people work for.
Yeah. So my thought process has basically, It's a couple things, but the main thing is that I am, you can't tell on camera, but I'm 6'5".
I think they can tell.
I'm a big boy. I'm also pretty beefy too. A big beefy boy. And I no, I'm a little worried about my back, literally. Mm. So I'm 6'5". If you're a taller person, you're going to have back problems.
Yeah.
You take that and you combine it with plumbing, which a lot of plumbers have back problems, knee problems, all that sort of stuff. I know that my timeline in the field is not infinite. And I wanted to provide a way for me and friends of mine to be able to get out of the field while still being in the trade.
Yeah.
So what my thought process was, trying to build the business in such a way that I'm able to step out of the field while continuing to run things. My favorite part of plumbing a lot of times is just the customers.
Yeah.
And conversations, solving problems for them, going through pricing with them, just being able to provide answers to the questions that they have, and setting guys up for jobs. I enjoy that so much, and it's so much easier on my body. So yeah, that was my thought process. I want to be able to at some point walk a daughter down the aisle, or be able to play with grandkids and not just be in so much pain and destroyed with arthritis and all that stuff. So
yeah, that's a real concern for sure, because you know, a lot of people, I think there's so many stereotypes for plumbers, right? You think of plumbers, you think of plumber's crack.
Yep.
Instantly you think overweight, middle-aged, balding man with a plumber's crack. I don't know if anyone else does, but that's what I envisioned when I think of plumbers.
It's a great stereotype.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I started my business to break stereotypes and stuff like that, right? And that's what I'm passionate about. But I think you have done such a great job with bringing that professionalism into the trades, where a lot of companies are now seeing, like, you have to do this. It's not about just going in and turning wrenches. Like, there's a customer service aspect to this job now, where the old timers in the industry, unfortunately, are kind of like, they're getting ready to retire. They're getting ready to wean out and stuff like that. And there's a new breed of plumbers and HVAC technicians, electricians, anyone in the trades that are coming in to kind of pick up the reins and go with it. But they have another generation to deal with, right? They're not dealing with the old time generations that just want a plumber to come in, turn a wrench, charge $20 and or a six pack of beer and get out of there. Right. Like there's so much customer service now, I think, in the plumbing and heating industry that wasn't there 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
And I think that's just because of the generation and the times and the software and everything's changing, different materials, different types of equipment is changing and stuff like that too. So there's just a different breed, and you do it so well. And when I was managing you, it was very, very evident that you were treating customers with respect. Your communication was great. Your quality of work was impeccable, because you were that type of person that people would call in and be like, can Clark come back out to my house? I only want Clark. Clark's my guy now. Right? I only want Clark to come out. So you build such solid relationships with your customers because you treat them in a different manner. You're excited to help. You're eager to help. And you go out there and you just want to provide a perfect service from beginning to end, not just a perfect outcome that the plumbing problem's fixed, but you want to provide a perfect solution and experience for that person. So I know, you know, you started your business, and you know,
by the way, do you want me to Venmo you before or after the podcast for all those awesome compliments?
You already pay me a monthly retainer.
That's right.
So yeah, I mean, but this is one of the reasons why I love working with you. I love going out to your job sites and hanging out with you and Jordan, and it's been an absolute blessing to call you my friend and to work with you. And it's really exciting because I do see something different with you and your customers than I've seen with other people. The relationship that you build is amazing. So kudos to you. You started your business, and you started a year and a half ago, and your three main values are communication, quality, and respect. Let's talk about the respect aspect of that. Why is respect one of your top values in your business?
Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of, from a customer standpoint, they don't feel like they've had respect with people in the past, or you get some plumber that comes in and just does all this work, and then you get a price afterwards, and you're like, what the heck? I had no idea. I asked what I should be expecting for price, and they're like, oh, I don't know, probably over $400. Then you get like a $900 bill, and you're mm-hmm. like, well, yes, it's over $400, but I didn't know it was going to be that much more. So I think respect, there's a few aspects of it. One is just respecting the customer enough to be able to provide them with upfront pricing. Everything is crystal clear.
Yeah.
From the way you are scheduled to when we are pulling up to the job, you get a text when we're on our way. When we are actually showing up to do the work, you're getting a price before we actually turn a wrench. Mm-hmm. And it's free. It's not. There's no, hey, it's going to be $150 for us to come out, and then we'll tell you what's wrong, and then it'll be a fee on top of that.
Yeah.
If you say no, we'll leave. Because there's no part, we don't want to be working for somebody who feels like they're being had or getting taken advantage of. No part of that. If somebody feels uncomfortable with pricing, get other quotes. It's completely okay. We want you to feel comfortable. So that's a big part of the respect aspect of it. And then the other part that I found big, and I remember a lot with you, there's an easy opportunity with working in people's houses and working for all sorts of different people. Yeah. Some are great, some are not. Mm-hmm. And so there's the opportunity when you get back from all of that to just vent about it and just be like, oh my word, Mrs. Smith, her house was XYZ, all these things wrong. This is what's weird about her, all this stuff. And I remember you saying, hey, stop. Like, enough of that. Like, that's not constructive to what the process that we're trying to build here and the environment that we want here at this company. And so that's another aspect of it that I've tried to pull in and just be like, hey, we're not going to talk bad about customers. We're going to try to, like, have a good atmosphere. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And I say that and I feel like a hypocrite because I'm like, oh, I still do it sometimes.
Yeah.
But we really, really want to do a good job of just treating people with respect while we're at their house and while we're not. Just treating people with respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point with just, you don't have it, you have to have the right mindset, right? And you know, you as a Christian, as a Christian based business, right? That respect is not only biblical; it's just something that's part of you, right? And I've seen that in your business. How has being a Christian, working out in the field, how has that helped with you trying to stay in that mindset of always treating people with respect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it comes back to the point of, man, I have just been given such a gift in just being able to like live freely and not be worried about every little mistake I made or am going to make, because that's all been covered.
Yeah.
And I want to live out of an overflow of that feeling.
Yeah.
And not feel like I constantly owe people, constantly like need to get on people's good graces. Like, I just want to give that because I've been given so much more than that.
Yeah.
So I think that attitude and that mindset makes it a lot easier to just roll over when something bad happens. Just be like, you know what? It's going to be all right.
Yep.
We're going to be fine. Like, there's no need to freak out about things or badmouth people. Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. And you never know what that person's going through either. Right. You go to a customer's house. They don't call you because they're like, hey, man, I just miss you. Can you come?
Except for you.
Come. Yeah.
Except
I always do that all the time. I break stuff in my house just to have you come, and then you never show up. Just kidding. there's an aspect of, just wanting to do the right thing. But again, what I was saying, going back to what I was just saying, was that you don't know what this person's mindset is. You don't know what they're going through in life and stuff like that. And you don't want to come in and just be an additional burden to them, right? They're already having a problem. They're having a plumbing problem, heating problem, whatever it is. There's a problem, and that's why you're out there, right? And I think, my pastor would always say, people aren't an interruption to our day. They are our day, right? And if you go in with that mindset that this customer is my day, this is a paying customer, this person called me out of anybody they could have called. There's 5,276 plumbing companies out in New Hampshire. I really don't know if that's a real number, but I just made that up. It could
way
be.
High,
could be.
Yeah.
they called you, and they called you for a reason. So having that mindset that this customer is not an interruption to my day, they are my day. I'm going to do everything I can to service this customer with 100% respect, how I would want to be treated, I'm going to fix their problem, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm not going to come in there with a grumpy gust, like, oh, well, I'm here now. What do you need? You know what I mean? Where there's been, there are, unfortunately, companies out there that are like that, right? And people have been burned by those kinds of companies. Someone that comes in, they overcharge. They don't end up fixing the whole situation. There's a callback. You can't get in touch with them anymore. And now you're coming in after that terrible situation where that customer is just like, so upset at the situation.
Yeah, it goes back to stereotypes. Like, there's the stereotype of the big guy with the pants riding a little too low,
wearing suspenders,
all that stuff. Just I hate that, and that's what people have in mind for a plumber. So I remember you make a comment of people saying to some of the posts you've made, they're like, "Is that really the plumber?"
Yeah, thinking your stock images. Yeah, they think your stock image.
Like that's exactly what we want. We want to show up with nice polo shirts, nice clean vehicles that aren't dripping oil in the driveway. Like, they're nicely wrapped, everything looks sharp. That's the stereotype we're trying to now turn into, instead of just the chuck.
Yeah, you're trying to elevate this trade, because we need this trade. This trade is so undervalued. But nobody, not a business, not a household, can function without proper plumbing. It just can't. I mean, you could definitely, you know, have running water coming from a lake with a hand pump and stuff like that, and go outside to an outhouse if you want to. But nobody in the world can function without, you know, proper plumbing. You know, it's a essential need for your hygiene and stuff like that. And I'm not saying like third world countries and stuff. They obviously don't have plumbing. But I'm saying,
like, say that's the biggest difference between our country turning into a third world country. It's literally like plumbing and electricity.
Yeah, yeah. And we need the people in the trades. We need to elevate this trade. And there's some great companies out there now that are doing that. And you're one of them for sure. But I just love the community of the trades and how people respect each other. People honor each other. There's enough customers out there for every plumbing company to be successful. There's some massive plumbing companies out there. But there's enough. Right, you don't have to always be so much competition, where you really need the trades to come together and just service customers and people. The other one is quality. How is quality another one of your top priorities and values?
Yeah, I think it's because it comes back to, that is going to be, if we're putting in products that are not quality, is in terms of material.
Yeah,
if we're putting in products that aren't quality, who has to deal with that? I do.
Yeah, it's true. Like,
why would I ever put in something? The difference in pricing between a high quality toilet, like a good quality toilet, versus a bad quality toilet, is within $100 typically. It's not anything crazy. Yeah. So why would we skimp on that price and have to deal with it in a few months when they have a problem?
Right.
And it's still, we warranty all our work. So now we have to deal with that. So I would rather just put in high quality products, and it is what it is. There's times where customers will supply products, and I will always say, I would not recommend this product. It's, you picked it, I'll put it in, but I'm not gonna warranty it.
That's the honesty part, and that's kind of like the communication part, which we'll talk about now. Is, you know, you're not gonna lie to a customer. You're gonna say, yeah, this is a fantastic product. Yeah, absolutely. We'll install it for you just to get in the door, right? So you're being honest. You're being upfront with the client. Being, listen, I've seen issues with this product. I've seen problems with this product. If it's customer supplied, I can't necessarily warranty the product itself. And you know, you're giving that upfront communication and authenticity to just having a good conversation. So communication is another huge one. And I think I know why you put this in here and why this is a huge value to you, because a lot of plumbing companies struggle in this area, I think. Yeah. Not only with their clients, but also with like their teams and their staff and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit about communication, why that is so important.
Yeah, I think communication is one of the things that I wanted to just really nail, because it's probably the most common complaint that I hear from customers.
Yeah.
I got a quote from so-and-so, or I couldn't even get a quote from so-and-so. They came out, they said I'd have the quote that week, and it's been 3 months and I've never heard a word from them. Tried to call them, can't hear back, all this stuff. So I understand the difficulty. At first, when I was working for these other companies and I'd hear some of that stuff, I'd be like, wow, that, doesn't seem that difficult. I can do that. Like, yeah. I can communicate back.
Sure.
And then now that things are picking up and they're getting a lot busier, I'm like, oh, okay, I understand why that happens with companies. But that just means you need to get things in place to take care of that for you. So I don't pick up my work phone anymore at all, because I was at the point where it was just like, hey, I'm picking up calls and I'm on a job and I'm saying, hey, I'll get back to you in an hour when I'm on the road. And then yeah. I'm driving to the next job and trying to take care of like getting that on the schedule. And it's just too much. And I was starting to have things slip through the cracks. And I realized, okay, we need to do something else, get something yeah. else in place. So I have a software that takes care of all of those calls that come in, puts them on the schedule, or if there's a question that the customer has for me specifically, mm-hmm. they will reach out to me and I'll interact with them.
Awesome.
Just to kind of yep. help streamline that process a little bit so mm-hmm. that things aren't slipping through the cracks, because that is the most frustrating thing. I've had it happen a couple times where I'm on a job and they're like, I get a call from a customer and they say, hey, are you going to be here soon? Because we got a 12 to 2 range that you're supposed to be here. And it's 1:50, and I am thinking in my head, I didn't even schedule you.
Yeah.
It slipped through the cracks. Yeah. And that is just the worst feeling ever.
It is.
Yeah. And then you have to bend over backwards to make sure that customer understands how apologetic you are. And that's
right.
not how we typically do things.
Yeah.
And it did slip through the cracks, and we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Really tough when that happens. So
yeah, it is tough. That definitely is tough. So ultimately, your software, House Call Pro, mm-hmm. is doing your customer service CSR
yep.
position, right? The phone call comes in, they answer the call, they use your name, they have like a script that you helped create and stuff like that, and then they'll book it. They see your schedule and they're able to book that call directly for you. Yeah, that's great. Having that awareness of, especially being at the time you were an owner operator in a truck, doing the work, taking the calls, doing the billing, you're wearing every single hat that a business owner wears, while also working 8-10 hours a day out in the field. So that's good awareness for you to be like, all right, I need to do something, because communication is a big part of my game plan, part of my values and stuff like that. So bringing House Call Pro in to answer those calls for you in a professional manner, get them people on the schedule and fill your day is great. And if that's working for you, that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good awareness for you on at the business level of things to make sure you're living out your values.
Right.
So great job with that. So you have been in business for year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it took, starting your business, getting the truck up and ready, starting to get calls in? How long in that year and a half did it take from when you started till you were just like going, like you were full throttle, just going at it? Did it take like a month? Was it like instantly that you were just fully booked and going, or did it take a little time?
Mm-hmm. I feel like there are different ways to be full throttle, kind of. Mm-hmm. So before I gave my notice at the previous company I was working at, I was working about 80 hours a week. I was doing 40 for myself and 40 for this company. And I was just realizing that I was doing them a disservice by being so burnt out by the time I came into work.
Yeah.
I was just absolutely exhausted. And then on the other side of things, when I would show up to my customers after 4 o'clock, I was dead and my brain was not there. I was just exhausted. I mean, the telltale sign for me is when this facial hair starts to grow out and my hair up top gets really long. It's like, all right, we need to relax.
Reel it in.
To chill out a little bit. So in that aspect of talking about it, I mean, I hit the ground running, was right at 40 hours right off the bat when I started.
Awesome.
And it was the easiest thing in the world because I didn't have to do another 40 for somebody
yeah.
else. So it was that aspect of it was really easy. But then some of the different stresses started to come in and
mm-hmm.
having to figure out all these problems on my own versus just telling the ladies in the office, hey, this happened.
Yeah.
This isn't my problem anymore.
Yeah.
Just
help
so
me.
You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Help
so,
me figure this out. Call the customer.
Right.
Schedule this.
So yeah. that kind of, in that aspect of things, I hit the ground running pretty fast. And then I want to say it was within a couple months, we decided to start advertising.
Yeah.
To try to build this company quicker mm-hmm. instead of just being word of mouth. And that's been really big.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a minute, because that's gonna plug me really nicely.
Yeah.
You did have that mindset of you started your business and it was within like 2 months, you and I had a conversation and we started doing some implementing some marketing strategies for you and stuff like that, because you started your business right when I started mine, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a year and a half, you're a year and a half old. So you were, I think, my second client bringing on board.
Yeah.
And, you know, what kind of made you, because there's a lot of people out there that start a new business. I have these conversations on a daily basis where I'm reaching out to newer companies because I have that heart for startups, people that are like one truck operations, and I want to help them grow and see them succeed. Where I reach out and they're just like, man, I'm either can't afford it, too nervous to start, I'm too busy, whatever the case may be. You started your business 40 hours a week, rocking and rolling with calls and stuff like that. You could have easily been like, I'm too busy to even do marketing. Or you could have even been like, I really can't afford it right now because I just started up this business. Mm-hmm. What kind of gave you the mindset of just being like, no, this is important. I'm going to market this business and I'm going to start now, opposed to starting it a year from now? What kind of gave you that mindset to be like, it's important to market?
Yeah, I think the same mindset that I've had with my body and the fact that that's going to fail at some point, and what can I do to keep that from happening? Just trying not to be nearsighted and looking towards the future. If I want to have X amount of trucks and I want to not just be the one guy working this company until I retire, something has to happen, because word of mouth isn't going to do that. And maybe that's the difference between me and thinking about somebody who might be in that position, is thinking about retirement probably way earlier. That's something that my dad's a financial advisor, which has been such a huge help to me.
Just
understanding the importance in actually planning and thinking ahead about those things. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. I was just thinking way downstream, what gets me to that point where I'm out of the field. And for me, it was advertising and marketing and showing people who I am to start to build this company, because if I wanted to, I wouldn't need advertising.
Right.
I could work for myself, not have a wrapped truck,
yep,
not have any bells or whistles, and I'd be fine. I'd have more profit, but that doesn't get me, that gets me more money and I still just have nowhere to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trapped.
Yeah.
So that was my thought process, is, hey, I would rather spend money to be able to further myself and get out of this.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, I remember, too, there's been a lot of companies, a lot of plumbing and heating companies that I've spoken to that, you know, I tell them who I am and stuff like that. And I just say, like, yeah, you know, I have a few other clients. I do Ryder Plumbing and Heating. Oh, you do them? Oh, they're, man, they're a huge establishment, huh? Wow, they're booming right now. I'm like, actually, no, it's just Clark in a truck at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? Like, he markets like he's a 10-truck operation, right? And I have gotten those comments like, oh, you know, that's not Clark, though, right? That's those stock images that you're using and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, that's really him. Mm-hmm. He's the only one taking calls right now, so he's the only one I can take pictures of.
Yeah.
So people are seeing what you're doing, and they're impressed with it. They're impressed with it.
Yeah. Very quick little story on that. Jordan and I were on. Jordan's my heating AC journeyman plumber. Like, this guy's awesome.
Yep.
Really good friend of mine. He's going to be in my wedding.
Same values that you have.
Yes. Yep. He does such a great job. Like, couldn't be more happy with this guy. And he and I were working on a job in Brookline, New Hampshire, and there's a big company based in Brookline, I believe, who pulled up to the job as well because they were doing a different aspect of work at the house. And they saw the license plate and they saw Ryder 1 and Ryder 2. And they were like, oh, wow, you guys have the first two trucks in the fleet, huh? Like, you guys are everywhere. And I was like, just the first two. That's it. And they're like, how many trucks do you guys have? And I was like, oh, just the two. That's it.
That's hilarious.
Blew their minds.
That's hilarious.
It was great.
Yeah, there's so many people I talk to going out on other job sites and stuff like that. They're like, hey, do you do Ryder Plumbing and Heating? I'm like, yeah. And they'll just be like, man, they're everywhere. They're I see their trucks everywhere. Yeah. And
which
I'm
is
like,
funny because we're literally not.
You have two trucks now. You got the new truck up and running maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
So for the longest time, for the first year in 3 months you were running just one truck, but people were like, right. I see the trucks everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, you do? Really? Wow. That's great. That's amazing.
Well, that was the thought process. I remember talking about it very early on. I was like, I want this vehicle to look like 1 of 100.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to look streamlined. I want it to look like it's...
Yeah, so you really went in. You went all in on your marketing strategy, because I know you use me for your social media stuff. You have a team that works on your Google, your team that works on your SEO. You got a really professional website built, like, right out of the gate, dude. Like, right out of the gate, where people wait, like, years to do what you're doing. And you've seen tremendous success from marketing yourself out of the gate. I really, truly feel like you're ahead of the game right now. You're, like, years ahead where you should be right now, which is phenomenal. You get company apparel, which I deliver. I get that stuff. You need any apparel, please let us know. Don't do that Nike hat. Surprise, it's not a Patagonia hat.
I know. No. I know. I'm not sponsored yet.
So not yet. Not yet. I'll get you there. So you brand yourself well. You got your truck wrapped immediately. I don't think you had that thing running on the road until it was wrapped. Maybe to like
it was a week.
Yeah, a week of calls. I remember when you got it and you brought it right over to my house and stuff like that to see it and stuff. Like, just amazing, just sick. And then the same thing with your second truck. You did not really want that on the road until it was wrapped. Like, you got it, and was it like the next day or the day after that? It was in the shop getting wrapped.
Right.
And you bring it over to Scott at Fast Signs.
Yes, they're awesome.
That's where I got my the Mighty Mobile wrapped as well, because you recommended them. And yeah, phenomenal job. But you're doing such a good job branding yourself. You're doing such a good job marketing yourself. Where a lot of people a year and a half in probably aren't doing much marketing other than posting on Facebook once a week, twice a week, when they have a minute to post.
Well, yeah, that's the thought process. Is if we want to compete with these bigger companies and be able to grow, we have to compete with them in all areas of the field. Not just being able to have more customers. Like, how do you get that? So we, even with, you mentioned the website side of things with SEO and all that, we have a monthly meeting and are looking at, hey, we're comparing with other companies that I would like to be getting above, and taking a look at how many pages do they have? How many pages did they create this month, this year? How can we top that? How can we make more quality pages? Not necessarily just content, because that doesn't necessarily help. There's so many things that go into Google's algorithm. So
it really does. It really does. And I can't remember what the statistic is, but if you're not showing up on the first page of a search result, it's very rare anyone goes to the second or third page. If you're on the third page, just forget about it. Like, no one's going to click that far in, right? Yep. It's that instant gratification reward. And you're also Google guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So you're showing up in that list as well. There's a lot of stuff that you are doing and doing really well. So kind of just like a quick snapshot, you've been in business for a year and a half. You have two trucks running right now. You have another full-time employee, Jordan, and you have 131 reviews, five-star reviews, 131 five-star reviews.
It looks fake. It literally looks fake because there's 131 of them, not one under five, which is crazy.
I think that just goes to show what type of service you're providing, what kind of relationships you're making over this time. Like, I'm confident that anyone that's left one of those that's 131 clients, that you're their guy, right? You're their guy, right? Everyone wants a guy, right? Everyone, I need a plumbing. I know a guy. I know a guy. Ryder, Clark Ryder, call him. How do you go about getting reviews? Because a year and a half in, having 131 reviews is just phenomenal. And it was less, and you were one of the ones that jumped on me and Logan's podcast and said, hey, try to find some of these hidden reviews. And what do we get, like 20-something reviews freed out of Google jail for you?
Yeah. I knew they were there, and I was just like, I don't know how to get these back.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before starting this podcast, that one of them was mine.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was mine that I left for you, and it wasn't showing there, and it just popped up when we got those freed up, so... What's your kind of process with getting a homeowner to leave you a review?
Yeah. So, again, I think it comes back to software and trying to do things a little bit differently than the stereotypical plumber would do them. People want it on their phone. They don't want you to tell them. So if you go on Google and you click the reviews tab, and then you can click add it, you click the five stars, and then you can type send them a link.
Yeah.
Like, send them a link, make it, and also trying to put that up front earlier on in our interactions.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, how'd you find us? Oh, Google. Yeah. Oh, you looked at the reviews. Everybody says, oh, I looked at the reviews. They were so good. I will try to reinforce how important those are during the call.
Man.
Just be like, hey, those mean so much. I'm so glad you were able to find that. I hope you got like a 5-star experience today. That type of thing. Trying to put that out there a little bit. And then afterwards, every single job, unless there's some reason we're at the end, something seems a little bit off and we want to make sure that we're not making the customer uncomfortable or anything like that. Mm-hmm. When we click complete on the job and finish the job, it sends a review right to them. Says, hey, we would love to hear about your service today.
Do you send a personal message with it or anything like that? Or do you just send the link? Does it go through your House Call Pro software?
It goes through the software, and I don't have capability to send an extra message with it. But it'll send it as an email and a text. So the second I'm leaving the driveway, you're getting a text and an email, just in case you miss one.
Right.
And also just giving them the heads up when we do the final bill through. Hey, you're going to get an email with your receipt. You're going to get an email that'll show, hey, thank you for your payment. And it'll show the invoice, show that it's paid off. Mm-hmm. And you'll also get a text that says, hey, if you like the service, please leave a review. There's no pressure at all.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to let you know you're going to get that. I'm going to fill all your inboxes up.
Yeah.
It means so much if you can do that for us.
Yeah, that's important too. There's so many people out there that that find it uncomfortable to have that conversation with a with a homeowner. But it's just like, once you understand the value of that review, it becomes so much easier, I think, for you to just ask, right? Mm-hmm. And the more and more you ask, the more and more comfortable and confident you get. You are able to start reading those customer interactions to be like, oh, this is someone that I feel definitely a review. I need to make sure that I do that.
Yeah.
I even have, there's been clients of mine that I print off little business cards for on the back. It has just a QR code. Scan this.
Yeah.
Leave us a review and stuff like that. And they also do the emails and stuff like that. But if you don't ask, you're not going to get them.
Right.
Right. But it's good that you're teeing up. Here's what to expect. This is the communication part of your business, right? This is what to expect. We would glad that you heard from us from Google. I'm glad that you, read our reviews. We would love to have a review from you. You're going to get an email and a text message from us. Like, you're setting them up to expect what they're going to get. And then they can act on it instead of just you leave and all of a sudden it's like ding, 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 ding. Like, what is all this stuff coming to me?
Yeah, overwhelming. Yeah. Well, it's like if I've played a lot of basketball in my life. So if we
look at
it, you have to. So I look at it like, hey, I'm your teammate in this.
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to dribble down the court. I'm going to hold it right up next to the rim. You just have to just tap it in.
Yeah.
Just tap it in. And it's easy. They're expecting it. It's not a lot of effort. You can literally just click 5 stars, post, done. You don't even have to say anything. But it's been very encouraging to see all that. And there's been times where I kind of will beat up on myself and be like, oh, things aren't going well. Like, this is too difficult. Like, I don't know why I started this company, all this stuff. And then my dad has told me, he's like, hey, anytime you feel bad about yourself, look at your reviews. Like, people love you a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And so my awesome.
Is that why you cut them all out and tape them on your wall at home?
No,
now?
So let me tell you about this. So literally last week, my wonderful fiance, Emma, what's up, girl?
She, shout out to Emma.
Beautiful Emma. She made me a present, which is very kind. She made a cork board with a nice covering over it. So it's all cloth. And she printed out hundreds of reviews.
Wow.
And put them all over there. And she's like, this is something. And she put it on the wall. Right. I put it on the wall. She didn't hang it, but she made it all and said, anytime you're feeling like overwhelmed or anything, you can look at this wall and you can just see all these things people think about you.
That's awesome.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Emma. That's so awesome.
So you stand there hours a day.
It's a lot of reading. It's tough.
It's hard to
keep
up. There's
some big words in there. It's really tricky.
What are some hard lessons you learned? I think we covered a couple of them and stuff like that with just, being down on yourself a little bit. What are some hard lessons that you've learned that might help others avoid starting their own plumbing company?
Mm-hmm. One really big thing is, for me, I didn't put a good value on a work to home life.
Yeah.
I didn't put like a barrier between that.
Sure.
So I had all of my work stuff was all on my personal phone. There was no real barrier. I had different numbers, but it was all on the same phone.
Yep.
And I found that it just became too much. And I was trying to sift through and find things for my friends. And then I'm scrolling through customers and I'd be like, I'm all stressed about this. I need to figure this out. I didn't have a good barrier between work and life. So it's still something that I'm working on, but I think it's something that is so much better than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
You should just be, I'll work whenever. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I'll always go out. I'll always take care of anything. Now I'm more at the point where I care so much more about my soon-to-be wife and my relationship with God and all these different things that just are a higher value than going and taking care of a leaking faucet on a Friday night. I don't care about that in comparison to my family and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to prioritize. And I think any business owner, because I've struggled with the same things, you know, that work-life balance is so hard. And that's almost like the benefit of why you want to start your own business, right? Like, oh, man, I'm going to have so much time, dude. I'm going to be free all the time. I'm going to be able to do what I want. I'm going to be able to take off the middle of the day if I want to and spend time with my kids and whatever it is. Yeah, it's a quick slap in the face and be like, reality check, dude. You're really not going to have this much time unless you're super, super intentional. It's not just going to pop up, right? Because if you let work just overpower your life, it will. Mm-hmm. It will totally consume you. I posted on my personal Facebook page just the other day, like, my family's having a relaxed pajama day. Mm-hmm. How can I not just sit here and relax? Like, I have the hardest time just sitting down, watching a movie and be like, I can do this. 2 hours. Yeah. I can sit here and just watch this. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to pull up a work email. I'm not going to do nothing. And like 3 minutes later, I'm like,
yeah, it's so hard.
And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. She's like, you on work? I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm texting you.
I'm just checking stocks. Yeah. Looking at the weather.
Yeah, exactly. I'm planning a family vacation.
Yes.
No, man, it can be so easily, it can absorb your time and effort and, you know, prioritizing your relationship with the Lord, making sure that you're in the Word every day and stuff like that. Because what I feel like, that's going to fuel you for the week, for the day, for the next hour, man. Like, you jump in the Word, that's going to fuel you up to be a good husband. That's going to fuel you up to be a good father. It's going to fuel you up to be a good businessman, right? That's going to reinstate all of your values and why you started the business and stuff like that. And and God blesses you for that time, right? Like, so kudos to you for just, you know, realizing what you need to prioritize and stuff like that, because you are getting married next month. Mm-hmm. You are going to be starting a family and you're going to have a lot of things on your plate. But the way you set yourself up with marketing yourself well, so you have work, you know, we all know that the dreaded winter season's coming for plumbing and heating, right? And I'm confident you're not going to have a slow season because of the way you're marketing yourself. A lot of HVAC companies that aren't marketing right now, you need to, because come February, March, that's the dreaded downslide of calls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now you have the responsibility of an employee to make sure that they have 40 hours, right? Making sure that you're taking care of your clients, you're taking care of your employees as well, while you're also taking care of your family.
Right.
So having those priorities in check are absolutely huge. What's your favorite thing about owning your own business?
I mean, if I were saying this very early on, I would have said a little bit more flexibility. Jordan jokes with me sometimes because I do have to work late at night sometimes.
Yeah,
you're figuring things out.
Yeah.
I'll be leaving a job site and telling him, hey, I'm gonna work on this quote, and I'll send him out. We'll see what happens. And he always jokes with me. He's like, dude, don't you make your own schedule? Why don't you just not do that? You could just do it another time.
Yeah, just forget about it.
So he gets it. He understands. So
yeah.
I do appreciate the ability to be able to have some flexibility in schedule.
Yeah.
I'm leaving this Friday for a bachelor trip with my cousin, all the guys that are going to be in my wedding.
Yeah.
And very excited to be able to do that and not have to ask a manager to take time off, because they'd probably decline it.
I always decline it.
Always decline mine. And I'm able to figure that stuff out. And also,
missions trip? Nope.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You remember that. So being able to do that, and also Jordan's coming with me on that that bachelor trip. He has no work that day. He has one job in the morning and then off for the rest of the weekend.
Right.
And being able to do that stuff for myself and my friends Oh, that's awesome. That's such a gift.
It's important. And I think the important thing for customers to know as well is we're all humans. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We all need time. We all need to reset. We all need to, for customers to just assume that you're a plumbing company, you should be here in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of customers out there. There's a lot of things that require our time and effort and stuff like that. And your toilet in your 5-bathroom house that's not working right now isn't a priority right now. It can wait. It's okay as a business owner to say it can wait.
Yeah,
you can wait. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Everything's gonna be fine.
I would say that's one of my biggest favorite things about working for myself is not having an on-call schedule. Had to do that at the last couple companies I was at, and it's a big thing that I know guys can't stand.
Yeah,
and so I've had opportunities where work comes in after hours because it always does, and running it by Jordan. Hey, do you wanna make some extra money and go do this? If you do, great.
Yeah,
you're getting paid for 2 hours regardless of how it goes at time and a half.
Right,
and then if you don't want to do it, I don't care.
Right,
don't do it.
Yeah,
enjoy your time with your family.
Yeah,
like, there's no pressure to do that. There's very rarely plumbing emergencies that need, you can shut off water to your house.
Right.
You can figure that out.
Yeah.
If it's heating, that's a little different sometimes. But it's always something that we're able to figure out, get out there in the morning.
Yeah, and that's the flexibility you have with when new customer emergencies come in, right? Because I'm sure, you know, you were just out to a house and, you know, God forbid something happened, like you're going to turn around, you're going to get right back out there if you need to. But it's being able to prioritize those new customers that are just calling around, their other plumber isn't answering their phone, and they expect you to be the next line of defense and coming out at 1 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. It is. It's nice to be able to have that flexibility. Maybe walk them through shutting their water off, calming them down, giving them value over the phone and stuff like that, and going out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it totally is. I don't run into that a lot. I don't have a lot of marketing on call stuff happening. Unless like a website goes down or something like that. But yeah, no, man, that's great. If you were to give, kind of closing it up here, if you were to give some advice to anyone that is getting ready to start their own business, or even, you know, more specifically their own plumbing and heating business, what advice would you give that person?
I think kind of what I said earlier, just think about the future and where you want to be and what you need to do to get to that point. Because if you want to be 65 years old, going up and down people's steps, fixing their faucets and all that stuff, and you genuinely want to do that,
do it.
Yeah. Like, definitely do it. For me, that wasn't how I felt.
Right.
That'd be the biggest thing. It's just really think ahead. Really think ahead and try to make decisions that are going to benefit you down the road, not necessarily just like right now.
Right.
So that's for me was like huge with thinking about, oh, I can profit more now, but I'm not advertising and I'm not spending monies in the areas that will profit me in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest reason that I
decided
to do that.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. Anything else you want to add or anything that we may have not have covered that you want to tell the world?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on board.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in my little basement in Deerfield and talking about this podcast and jumping in and kind of telling us your story and stuff, man. I pray that God continues to bless your business, you know, bless Jordan and his future family as well. You guys are doing a stellar job. Congratulations on the success of your business. And again, I really appreciate you coming on. And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
God bless everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you later on the Breaking the Mold podcast. God bless.